I'm Dan Abnett, and you're listening to Sean Hammer.
Hello, hello, welcome to episode 98 of Sean Hammer. Wow, I know I've been saying that I've been getting back on to a more regular basis, but I guess once a month is my regular, but I'm trying to do once every 2 weeks, so just ignore me as I get things situated. Now, today will be the first time in a long time to actually talk about 40K. So, that would be pretty cool. I know I went over to, the death mask stuff last time and everything, but today we're going over Deathwatch Kill Team. This is an obsession I've had for quite some time, many years in the making. For some odd reason, they appealed to me. I like the fact of a chapter that is made up of independent characters from each chapter. Modeling aspects are pretty sweet, so it allows you to break out the bits and take some space wolves, paint them all up. Black. Go ahead and put the shoulder pad, the right shoulder pad. Make them pretty cool. You do that with any chapter. And we're going to talk a little bit about the models as well as some of the roles. We might go over some the Pendant's Mightier box set for Malifaux, the new Nelly box set. So that's that. What have I been doing? Not a lot. I've been watching some Luke Cage on Netflix. Been working, not feeling well. There's no excuse for anything, but it is what it is. Let's see. I've been buying stuff. Yeah, that's pretty cool. I bought an assload of, I was a hobby whore. Bought an assload of Deathwatch Kill Team. I bought two of the main box sets. I, of course, bought the Death Mask box set. I bought two core box sets. Not core box set, but troop box sets for the Deathwatch. Didn't buy a Terminator because she's exactly the same that's in the, that's in the main box set with the rules and everything. Let's see. I bought two transports. Two Razorbacks. One dropship because it's pretty sweet. Might look on getting two. A unit of Terminators. Both characters available at the time. And also... unit of Terminators. I said that already. But anyway. Let's see. I already have owned the Deathwatch Kill Team from the Overkill box set, so that's pretty cool. So that's about it. So I got a lot of shit to paint and not enough time in the day to do it. I've been working on my Riva crew. I've gotten two models left to paint. I got two corpse counters left. Not very fun on the models, but what do? You pretty much have to have them. So yeah, we'll go there. I bought the Kill Team box set, which, not even paying attention to it, I just assumed it came with more Deathwatch Kill Team models. It was a big negative. I was impulse buy, didn't pay attention, got home, and I was like, oh. Basically, I bought another rule set, a rule book. I bought a squad of Marines. They're supposed to be Raven Guard, I guess, but there's just going to be any Marines, and a unit of Tau. It comes with a pamphlet, how to play a 200-point game with specialists in your 40K, for 40K. It's not horrible. It's not really bad or nothing. It's just... A while back I did a podcast with Big Jim where he did his own drop zone. Basically was making a Necromunda-ish style of Kill Team as it was. It's kind of like a middle ground from what Games Workshop had to what he had. It's not the greatest, but... And it allows you to play smaller games, pick up games and stuff like that. It gives you some specialists. I like that in the whole thing, the whole scheme of everything. So the Kill Team thing's not a total wash, but it's not what I thought I was buying. Oh well. I also got the new White Dwarf. I'm not going over it. We're too into the new format, which is actually the old format, but still isn't worth $9, but $7 worth it. But I'm glad they went back to it. It's more of a heftier magazine. You're not split apart buying a another white, a mini white dwarf every 2 weeks and getting cool army looks by buying a big old Warhammer Vision, so at least it's kind of getting back to the way things were. So, outside of buying shit, no hobby, outside some HeroClix. Nothing really new came out that I'm playing for HeroClix either. Bought some stuff, OP kits that I didn't have. Other than that, just been slowly painting, buying, and reading. So let's go ahead and start with the models for Deathwatch Kill Team. For one, they're brilliant. I love the way they look. I like the aesthetics of them. So they're beautiful. Now you're going to say, Sean, there's just Marines with special arms. I was like, yeah, both. I get that. It just is what it is. But the models themselves, the Troop Choice box set, they come with, 15 different shoulder pads, embossed shoulder pads, that you can do different chapters from. They come with great two-handed Thunder Hammers, and their Storm Shields are brilliant. And, like I said, you can kit bash them with other Marines that you might have. Like, so I got some Blood Angel pieces with some cool, you know, blood droplets and stuff like that, so I can mix and match those into it, paint them black, get the whole aesthetic thing going, some Space Wolves here, now any other chapter you might have. If you got any of those Turnic War Veterans, those would go well with them too. So it allows for a lot of modeling opportunity that makes sense. So let's go ahead and look at what we got for the book. $50 for a pretty damn thin book, all color. I guess it is. That is the price you're paying these days. Not a lot of super fluff, as I would like to say, but tells you about the Watch, Captains, Terminators, blah, blah, blah. This is the Army of Veterans. So, outside of special characters, when I say special characters, I do mean the Librarian, the Chaplain, the Watch Captain, and stuff. We are all looking at the same stats. It's a Veteran stat, a 4 weapon skill, 5 ballistic skill, 4 strength, 4 toughness, 1 wound, 4 initiative, 2 attacks, 9 leadership with a 3 plus save, with the exception of Terminators with a 2 plus save, and Bikers with a toughness 5 because they're on bikes. So we'll go through the troop choices right here. There's not really much to say. There is no special characters in this book. To get the data sheet for the special character Artemis, you have to buy the black, the Death Mask box set, which is worth it if you're going to go this way. You can always get rid of the Eldar. They're all Harlequins, and it looks amazing. They're amazing looking, I'm going to say it. For Xeno scum, they're cool looking. But Artemis is in that box set, so I'll cover him again. I don't know if I did, and if I repeat myself, oh well. First up, we got the Watchmaster. This guy's ringing in with all the standard stats, except for weapon skill 6, 5 ballistic skill, and 4 attacks, and leadership 10. He's got artificer armor, so he's got 2 plus armor save. He's got a guardian spear, frag grenades, crag grenades, a clavis, and iron halo. And he's got all the stuff, you know, he's got mastery tactics, you know, if he's your warlord, you can change the army's mission tactics 1 extra time, which I'll get over that. I don't know, I think I went over that the last time, but we'll go over it again where you can, your guys get a special. So this guy's pretty static pose. He's an old guy just standing there. He's got the Guardian Spear and the Clavis. Next up we have the Watch Captain, which is exact same amount of stats except for attacks and wounds, which are 3 instead of 4. He's got 3 plus armor save. You can equip this guy with regular things that you can equip captains with, you know, Terminator armor, the new Xenophase blade, shit like that. So basically, a pretty vanilla character there. Chaplain, same thing. He's basically no better, except 1 wound better and 1 weapon skill better than a veteran. And he's got Zealot. And of course, he gets mission tactics if you take him as your HQ. We get the Librarian, which is the same exact stats as the Chaplain. Which is pretty funny, actually. I mean, I don't know what you're really paying for. Chaplain's 95 and the Librarian's 70. Unless you're getting Zealot, you're happy with Zealot. So, Chaplain has Rosiris. So, maybe. And that's it for any type of special characters we have in it. Another unit that the Army can pick is your veterans, and which you should be picking veterans. I've already given you their stats. Everything in this damn thing has special ammunition, which I'll cover in a bit. And so that's pretty damn sweet. I mean, I like it. Because, well, and they feel more like Marines to me. You know, special ammunition. You can pick for what they're fighting and stuff. A lot of options you can choose for these guys. You can include up to 5 additional veterans for 22 points apiece. Any models may take items from the melee, ranged weapons, and or the special weapons list. Any model may replace either the bolt gun or close combat with the storm shield. Pretty sweet. Up to 4 veterans can take items from a heavy weapon list, so you can make yourself a small little devastator squad if you really want. And I plan on it. Any veteran may replace his weapon with a heavy thunder hammer. A unit may include upgrade 1 veteran to a black shield. Well, a black shield is basically a weapon skill 5 guy. He's going to go in. He's got atonement through honor special ability, and he's just kind of like you'd be for your champion, I guess, outside of being the sergeant. But that's about it there. Let's see. May upgrade a different veteran to a watch sergeant. The watch sergeant may replace one of his close combat weapons with a Xenos phase blade. I'll redo that. A watch sergeant may take items from the special issue war gear, and the unit can take a Rhino, Razorback, Corvus, Blackstar, drop pod as a dedicated transport. I noticed that we don't have a dreaded dedicated Land Raider. Next up, we have the Terminators. Same stats they gave you. This is Terminators. A whole bunch of upgrades you can pick. Basically, they're vanilla Terminators. I don't know what to tell you. I don't see any difference with this. They got a Power Fist with the auxiliary melted gun. I don't know. I don't remember seeing that too much. It's been a while since I played. But we got Terminators. And they're worth it. The only bad part about the Terminators is that the box set for the Terminators doesn't come with embossed shoulder pads for special chapters. Dreadnoughts are your Dreadnoughts. We have Venerable and Regular. Let's see if anything sticks out. Let's see. 12 front, 12 side, 10 rear, 4 initiative, 4 attacks, 3 hull points, 6 strength, 6 strength. Regular Dreadnought, 4 and 4 for weapon skill, ballistic skill, and 5 and 5 for your Venerable Dreadnought. Venerable has the Venerable rules. Other than that, we're not looking at anything that's like jumping out and saying, man, I got that Deathwatch Dreadnought so much better. Not really. We have one. The next unit we have for the models you can buy, it's kind of disappointing. It's the Vanguard Veterans. Guys have jump packs. They're Deathwatch with jump packs. Basically, the model kits are just your regular Vanguard Veterans, and they throw you in the obligatory Deathwatch upgrade sprue, which includes 1 Xenos phase blade, a torso upgrade, and a whole bunch of Deathwatch shoulder pads. Other than that, the models don't stick out as anything more than what they were. You want the embossed shoulder pads, you're going to have to kitbash with the regular veteran squad. These guys have heroic intervention, same stats as all the other guys. You can take up to 4 additional vanguards for 25 points apiece. Of course, they have special issue ammunition, crack grenades, frag grenades, chain sword, and bolt pistol. They can replace his weapons with a heavy thunder hammer. Any model may take melt bombs. Of course, there's a whole jackload of stuff you can take if you like jump squads. I like the shotguns. I'm gonna with the regular veteran squads, you can upgrade to a shotgun for free. And I'm gonna try doing that because I think the shotguns look pretty cool. Now your bikers are next. They're 30 points. I'm going to get a unit. I know I'm going to be disappointed because it's going to be just a regular unit of bikers, model-wise, with a Death Watch upgrade. Won't be as cool looking as the special character that came with the Overkill box set. But these are your your regular bikers. They have special rules, no fear, Michigan tactics. Almost everything is Michigan tactics. Skilled rider, split fire. Twin-link bolt gun, close combat weapon, frag grenades, crack grenades, special issue ammunition. You can include up to 4 additional bikers at 30 points apiece. Any model may replace its close combat weapon with a power weapon for 5 points. Any model may take multiple bombs, and any model may take a Death Watch teleport homer. Which is pretty cool because your Terminators have no dedicated transport. Next up, we have the old Rhino. It's a Rhino. It's got the repair thing, fire access points. Nothing's going to stick outside of it. It's just a movable bunker for 35 points. Next up, we have the Razorback. Same thing. Thing that gets me is may take items from Death Watch vehicle equipment list. It comes with twin-linked heavy bolters, but they don't say you can take the Hellfire or whatever rounds. We'll get to it, heavy bolters. But it's a Razorback, and I got 2, and that's my tank of choice, especially running a veteran army. We got drop pods for 35 points. And we got the new model, new flavor of the week here. We got the Corvus Blackstar. This is a 180-point flyer. It looks pretty cool. It's Ballistic 04, 12, inside armor 12, rear armor 11, hull points 3. It's a vehicle, flyer, hover, transport. Combat rule, I guess these are for the Death in the Sky thing. It's attack, flyer, pursuit 3, agility 2, unit composition 1, Corvus Blackstar. It comes equipped with twin-linked assault cannons, a Blackstar cluster launcher, which we'll get to all that in a while, a 4-star storm strike missiles, and ceramite plating, which means that melted weapons don't get their double roll against it. It's an assault vehicle. It's got combat capacity 12 models, but this Corvus Blackstar can carry jump infantry and bikes. Pretty freaking sexy, right? No fire points. Access points, 2 at the front, 1 at the rear. It can replace its twin-linked assault cannon for free with a twin-linked blast cannon. It can, 15 points, replace all 4 storm strike missiles with a twin-linked Blackstar rocket launcher. Now, we'll go over all the unit lists up next. You can take the normal things. You can take locator, beacon, hurricane, bolter, extra armor, infernal, Inferium, halo launcher, Auspex array. We got Land Raider, which is basically a Land Raider. We got Land Raider Redeemer, which is a Land Raider. We have Land Raider Crusader, which is basically a Land Raider Crusader. Then we get into the special formations. And we'll go over that in a minute. I'm going to take a short little break, and I will return soon. And now we have formations. Now, I don't really know or understand a little bit. I haven't played 40K in quite some time since formations, or really how they work. Well, our first one here, we got the Aquila Kill Team. It's a formation which consists of 1 unit of veterans, 1 or more choices from any combination from the following lists: Librarian, Terminator, Vanguard, Veterans, or Bikers. The restrictions are the formation may not consist of more than 10 models, excluding dedicated transports. Special kill team rules, basically they all have to stay together. They can't split. They have the Aquila Doctrine, which is non-vehicle models from this formation can reroll any to wound rolls and armor penetration rolls. So I get that. Allows you to add a little bit more flavor to a unit, I suppose. Next up, we got the Furor, whatever, kill team. Same thing with, you got to keep them all together. Reroll any failed wound rolls and armor penetration rolls on non-vehicle models from this formation that are targeting a unit with the troop type's battlefield role. So when you're shooting at troops. Now, this unit can be made of 1 unit of veterans, 1 unit of Terminators, any number of the choices down below: Librarian, Vanguard, Veterans, and Bikers. Again, restrictions doesn't count towards the formation may not consist of more than 10 models, excluding dedicated transports, and at least 1 veteran must be armed with either a Death Watch frag cannon or Infernus heavy bolter. Okay, next up we got the Venator. Kill Team. This is a unit of veterans, unit of bikers, any number of choices, any combination from the following list. Librarian, Terminators, or Vanguard veterans. This unit may not consist of more than 10 models, and it must include at least 2 bikers. It's got the Kill Team thing where you can't break them up, and Vindicator Doctrine. You can reroll any failed to wound rolls and armor penetration rolls for non-vehicle models from this formation that are targeting a unit with fast attack battlefield roll. So anti-fast attack. Next up, we got the Domitus Kill Team. Let's see. It's one unit of Vanguard veterans. One unit of veterans, one unit of Vanguard veterans. Any numbers of the choice, any combination from the following list. Librarian, Terminators, Bikers. This formation may not consist of more than 10 models, and it must include 2 Vanguard veterans. So at least just 2 guys. They can reroll failed wound rolls and armor penetration rolls for non-vehicle models from this formation they're targeting with the elite. So what is looking like is, I'll get there in a minute. Next up, we have the Malice Kill Team. One unit of veterans, one unit of Terminators, any number from the following list. Librarian, Vanguard veterans, or bikers. The formation may not consist of more than 10 models, excluding dedicated transports. At least 2 models must be armed with thunder hammers and or heavy thunder hammers. Which, that's not going to be that difficult. Kill Team, can't break them up. It's Malice Doctrine. Reroll any failed to wound rolls and armor penetration rolls for non-vehicle models from this formation that are targeting a unit with heavy support battlefield roll. So you are cracking some tanks. You got it. We got the Purgatus Kill Team. This is a unit of veterans, one librarian, one unit of Terminators, any number of models from the following choice. Librarian, Vanguard veteran, and bikers. Cannot include more than 10 models, and at least 1 veteran must be armed with a Stalker pattern bolt gun. Another thing that, once we get to the Stalker pattern bolt gun, you'll understand. These basically non-vehicle guys are shooting, targeting HQ, they can reroll armor penetration roll and fail the wound. We got the Stratagem Command Team. This is basically 1 watch captain or librarian in your choice of following list. 1 choice. Veterans, Aquila Kill Team, Fiero. So basically any one of your previous choices. Let's see, they got a couple things. They got Fight to Last Breath. If a Strategium Command Team is led by a watch captain, all non-vehicle units in this formation have Fiero Pain 6 rule. As long as he's not removed from as a casualty. It's suffer not the alien to live. If they're led by a chaplain, all non-vehicles in formation have Furious Charge special rule as long as he's not been removed as a casualty. Pure of spirit, strong of soul. If it's led by a librarian, all non-vehicle models with this formation have the stubborn and adamantium will special rule. Yeah, that's pretty cool. We got the watch company, which just is basically 1 watch captain. It's 4 choices of the following of any one of those formations. You got the decapitation doctrine with them. Reroll any failed wound rolls and armor penetration rolls for attacks made by non-vehicle models from this formation that target enemy unit that includes a warlord, a psyker, or independent character. We got the Corvius Dropship Wing. Basically, it's you take 3 Corvius Black Stars, and their Burning Skies Doctrine. When models from this formation target enemy flyer or flying monstrous creature with an attack roll, reroll the failed to armor penetration or to wound rolls. Pretty sweet. Alright, let's go ahead go over the rest of. We got the Warlord traits, which are, let's go ahead, special rules. Atonement through Honor. A model with a special rule doubles its attacks in assault phase if it's locked in combat with an independent character, a monstrous creature, or vehicle. Or if the combat contains more enemy models than friendly ones, count all models locked in combat, just not the ones engaged. So your your guys in the individual units would do that. You can do combat squads with them, and you got your warlord traits. Basically, the warlord trait, Bane and Monstrosities, you can reroll Fail to Wound against base and armor penetration against monstrous creatures, tanks, and super heavy tanks. Lord of Hidden Knowledge. The Warlord has gleaned this many insights of the enemy's weakness. You can use each of these insights once during the battle to reroll a failed to hit, to wound, or armor penetration roll for your Warlord or his unit. You got the Castellan of the Black Vault. All weapons carried by your Warlord have Mastercrafted special rule, except relics. We got the Bringer of the Red Dawn. Your Warlord has Night Vision special rule. In addition, after deployment, you can declare that the Night Fighting special rule is in effect for turn 1. There is no need to roll. We got the Vigilance Incarnate. You can change mission tactics an additional time during the battlefield. And, let's see. I don't think I went over the mission tactics yet, so we'll get to that. And Master the Void Hunt. Start of each of your turns, your Warlord can call down a Lance Strike upon an enemy unit within 12 inches. Roll a dice, and a 3 or more, the unit suffers D3, Strength 6, AP 4 hits. On a result of 6, it instead suffers D3, Strength 10, AP 2 hits. Any wounds that are inflicted are randomly allocated. Yeah, that's the one you want. mission tactics, this allows you guys to, basically... You get mission tactics, and you can change it once per game. Unless you get the warlord trait, you can change it another time. Basically, it allows you to reroll any hits once, some the against troops. The other one's fast attack. Other one's elites, heavy, and HQ. So that's pretty simple. Now, let's go over the Death Watch kill team. What's going to make them different than any other Space Marines you have out there? Which basically, the answer is nothing. All the Space Marines are pretty much damn well the same until you get to their real special rules and or equipment that they can carry or not carry. Now, these guys, they're just veterans, so they're not looking at anything with, you know, one attack or nothing, but veterans don't offer you two wounds, they just give you an extra attack, so kind of weird on this one, because the thing that makes the Death Watch pretty cool is they got the special issue ammunition. And then, so, we'll go over that. You got these, we'll start off with the Death Watch shotgun, which has the different ammunition. It's got the Cryo Clear round, which is range 16, strength 4, dash AP, assault 2 and shred, and the Xeno Purge Slug, 16 inches, strength 4, AP 4, assault 2, and we got the Worm's Breast Shell template. It's a template, strength 3, AP 6, assault 1. So we got some special tasty stuff for some shotguns, but we also have the stuff for all their bolt guns. Basically, we got the Dragonfire Bolt, which is in a pistol. It's basically all the same thing. I'm not going to give you the ranges, but strength 4, AP 5, ignores cover. Okay, Hellfire rounds is strength 1 or X, AP 5, rapid fire for the bolt gun, bolt pistol, poison 2, all of them have poison 2. We take a Kraken Bolt, which is strength 4 or X, AP 4, heavy 2 sniper. Well, no, that's for something else. Heavy 2, rapid fire. But it's extended range, basically, on that one. And the Vengeance Round, which is variants of 3 different ranges, depending on bolt, pistol, bolt gun, or stalker pattern bolt gun. And it's gets hot, AP3. Now, you mentioned we got this is for the Death Watch kill team, as I'm known. The only one that has it is the stalker pattern bolt gun. This is a range 30, strength X, AP5, heavy 2 sniper. And it can take the special issue ammunition. So that's pretty unique. And that's about it. That won't really, outside the fact that these guys are sexy looking, you have a little bit of play with anything on there, you know, with how they look. Everything else is pretty much the same. We got a few short ones that are unique to the army, like a clavis, which is subtract one from the weapon skill, ballistic skill, and initiative characteristics of enemy vehicles within 6 inches of a model that's equipped with a clavis. We have a guardian spear, which is a dash range, plus one strength, AP2, melee, block two-handed, which is block is a once per turn in a assault phase, a model equipped with the Guardian Spear can attempt to block a single attack that targets them. After the two-hit roll is made, roll a dice. If the result is higher than the two-hit roll, the attack is blocked and has no effect. Attacks that do not have the hit roll cannot be blocked. Makes sense. We got the Heavy Thunder Hammer, which is Strength 10, AP 2, Melee, Pulverized, Concussive, Two-Handed, Unwieldy. Lot of rules. Pulverizes, if the 2-hit roll for an attack with this weapon is 6, it has the attack. It has instant death special rule. Well, usually Strength 10 does, but I guess against bigger alien creatures you might not have it. So that's about it. I mean, does it stand out? Is it a beat-all? Great codex for anything? Nah. Is it a pretty badass looking army to have on the battlefield and give you a little bit more lore if you like the lore for it and, you know, have something different? Hell yeah. I mean, you got some little bits of tricks and stuff you can do, but you're paying the points for veterans with barely better stats than the regular troops and stuff for higher points, you know, get 2 more attacks, but you're talking about an army that relishes in special issue ammunition and range attacks. So it's just like, I say, it's a win. I'm glad I finally got it as a codex and not just a White Dwarf supplement or something just hanging around. I'm glad you don't have to buy the Games Workshop metal pieces to make a Death Watch unit anymore. And it's great for kit bashing. So I definitely approve this codex. Yeah, I don't think it's a killer codex, but hey, I like it. We're going to take a short musical break. I know that was probably, it's been a while since I did 40K, so yeah, we'll go from there. But let's see. You know what? Yeah, we'll take a short musical break, then we'll go over the Penner's Mightier box set and what comes in that, and we'll go from there. All right, talk to you soon. That was Striper from To Hell with the Devil from 1980-something, to how old I am. So we were going over the Pen is Mightier box set. I ordered this by freaking accident. I meant to get Zip the Sky Pirate. I clicked the wrong button. I was contemplating picking this up anyway. So, I mean, it's not a complete total wash. I was going to get it. But the fact is I wanted Zip more. Anyway, it didn't work out that way. I've been keeping my eye on eBay for Zip, and no one's got them out. I should have probably gotten that one chick too, the Fade chick. But oh well, I was in limited funds, and this is what it is. Okay, well, the box set comes with Nellie Cochran. She's the lead field reporter. It comes with Fiona Gage. She's basically person of interest in the story. I'll get over that in a minute. Two field reporters and the printing press. So, the story in the book, the Rippling Fates book, was pretty cute. It's about Nellie trying to get the story about the guild's abuse of workers and everything, and then about the guild, not the guild, the MSNU, Steamfitter Union, their abuse of workers and their working conditions, and Nellie's trying to get Fiona's story on things and see how it changed her, because she's like got half a robot head now and everything, and the union, the Steamfitter Union, keep trying to, well, they keep burning her place down and trying to kill her to get the story from coming out. But she's quite inquisitive girl. She looks like a little boy. I got Cassiopeia with a defense 6 with a tome, a 6 willpower, 11 wounds, 5 walk, no charge, height 2. Now she's unique. She's got a lot of stuff I've not seen, or a couple things I've not seen in Malifaux yet. So let's go ahead and go over her abilities and stuff. For one, she's got In Plain Sight. When an enemy model with an 8-inch aura takes an interact action, this model gains the following condition, Evidence, plus 1. At the end of the turn, this condition, then you may place a ski marker base with this model. So it allows you to just all of a sudden place a ski marker. So if she's got evidence against you, you can automatically tell from this ability this is going to be a scheme-dropping unit or crew. She's got creative reporting. At the start of this model's activation, it may discard a card to gain the evidence condition. So she's going, if you want evidence condition, she's going to get the evidence condition. She's got the revisionist history. Damage. This is what's pretty cool. Damage flips against this model may not be cheated by other models. Okay, so if I'm hitting her, I can't cheat it. But the owning player, this model may cheat the damage flips made against it, regardless of any negatives or jokers. So you're always controlling the damage. As the owner of Nellie, you're controlling the damage you're taking. Pretty unique. I'm not seeing that before. She got Run from the Truth. After a model with an 8-inch aura fails an attack, this model may lower the value of its evidence condition by 1 to push this model up to 4 inches in any direction after the current action is resolved. For attack actions, kind of not there. She's got Scathing Review. It's a 7 attack with a ram, resistant willpower 10 inches, no gun. Target enemy model gains the following condition for the rest of the game. Humiliation. At the start of this model's activation, it suffers 2 damage. This model may end this condition by taking a 1 interact action to place a key marker. So, you're getting more ski markers and informant, which is built in. After succeeding, gain the evidence 1 condition. So she's building up evidence condition. She's got Propaganda, which is a 6 with a ram cast. Target number 12 with a ram. And resists willpower. Range 10. Target suffers 1, 3, 4 damage. This model may lower the value of the evidence condition to declare an additional number of triggers equal to the value of the evidence condition lowered. The same trigger may not be taken more than once in this way, and you choose the order in which to resolve them. A single suit in the final duel may be used for multiple triggers. Okay. So she can do all these. So remember, she's adding evidence. So she can have do all of these or one of these. Guilt. After succeeding, push the target up to 5 inches in any direction. Angry Mob. All these need rams. After succeeding, choose another friendly model within 2 inches to make that target make a 1 basic melee attack against the target if able. And Shock. After succeeding, the target gains slow. She got Hot Off the Press. Casting of 6 with a ram. Target number 13, resist willpower. Range 8. Place target model into base contact with scheme marker within 8 inches in line of sight, which is friendly to this model. Then discard the marker after replacing the target, and it gains burning plus 3. And allows you to get... Well, okay. place target model based contact. So you can go in and put somebody in the contact with your scheme markers and burn them. She has one tactical action, which is zero. And it's a lead. Discard a scheme marker and base contact, push up to 6 inches. Not too bad. I think it's all going to come down with her upgrades. So let's go ahead and look at the rest of the crew. Now, her little totem, I believe, is her soulstone-possessed father, the printing press. It's a peon construct totem. Defense 5, willpower 6, 4 wounds, 6 walk, 7 charge, height 2. Armor plus 2. Arcane Reservoir, so your hand is increased by plus 1. That's always nice to have in a card-based game. It's insignificant, and it's got misstep. Enemy models that end a push or placement with an 8-inch aura with an 8 inches end in base contact with impassable terrain or another model suffer 1 damage. So, yeah, tripping. Misstep. Attack action. You can't escape the truth, which is, it's this model gains, its attack action. You resist it with your defense, and you get slow. And this attack gets a plus 1 in engaging strikes, and with the ram trigger, and which it has ram, after succeeding against a target that was slow when this action was declared, it suffers 2 damage. So it's all about slowing. Tactical actions, 0. Thorough investigation. Casting 6, target number 11, range 8. Target friendly master may activate another. A friendly target's master may activate after this model's activation ends the chain action. The target gains the following condition. Evidence 1. At the end of this turn, in this condition, you may place a ski marker in base contact with this model. So you're not getting away with evidence, man. We got Fiona Cage, which was really weird. They gave us Fiona because I think she was in a story instead of, there's two henchmen with a journalist, characteristics. One, the other one in the book is a journalist. This woman is the poor Emmett Miner and Steen Fender union worker that was hurt and she's not allowed to work anymore. But her abilities are, she's got defense 6, willpower 6, 8 wounds, 5 walk, 8 charge, height 2. She's got a cash of 5. Abilities are, it's mere fighting. Once per turn, after enemy model engaged with this model fails a weapon willpower duel outside this model's activation, this model may make a melee attack against the target after resolving the current action. She's unimpeded, hard to kill, and she got right at home. While this model's base is touching severe or impassable terrain, it gains plus 1 defense. Usually think that's very circumstantial, but that changes here in a moment. She's only got one attack action, which is a modified pickaxe. Melee 6 with the tome. Resists defense. Range is 2. Target suffers 3, 4, 5 damage. This attack flick gains a plus against models that have already activated this turn. With a crow trigger, you get head trauma. After damaging, the target gains the following condition to end the turn. Head trauma. This model suffers negative to willpower tools, and she's got wide swing with a ram. After damaging, take this attack again against another model that was not targeted by this attack during this activation. You can only declare once. Now, this is where her one thing comes in. She's got command stone. You can place one 50mm stone pillar marker in base contact with this model. Not in base contact with any other models or markers. This marker is height 5, blocking impassable hardcover terrain. Remove this stone pillar marker after the start of this model's next activation. So you can get 2 rounds with it. And remember, she gets pluses for having the stone being next to impassable terrain. And this can only be done once per turn. And she's got lookout. This action may not be taken if this model is engaged. The target an enemy model that is engaged with another friendly model. Place this model base contact with the target and push all other friendly models engaged with the target 4 inches away. Then this model may take a 1 attack action. That's pretty cool. Not too bad. This is definitely your brawn of the group, that's for sure. So, in the box set, it came with Fiona, Nelly, the printing press, and three field reporters. These, we'll see. I haven't played this yet. I will paint this crew up before I play it, like I have with Reva, and I'll be playing Reva pretty soon, so I'll give you a battle report once that's done. Field reporters are journalist woes, defense 5, 5 willpower, 5 wounds, 5 walk, no charge, height 2. They're unimpeded, they're disguised, so they can't be targeted charges, and manipulative 12, so got past the 12 willpower duel if they haven't activated yet. Now, they have their attack action, which is exclusive interview. This is a non-damaging kind of attack action, just like Nelly. Target an enemy model. This action must declare a trigger if available. On a ram, assault in public. After succeeding, target gains the following condition to end the game. Assaulted plus 2. When this model activates, it suffers plus 2 damage, ends its condition. We have insistent questions. After succeeding, the target gains slow. Under scrutiny, with a tome. After succeeding... I'm going blind. After succeeding, the target may gain the following condition to end the turn. Under scrutiny, this model suffers negative flip to all attacks it makes. This model may end its condition to discarding 2 cards at the start of its activation, or taking 1 interact action to place a ski marker. And with a mask, they're on to you. Run. After succeeding, push the target up to 5 inches away from this model. Kind of different. We have corroborating evidence, which allows you to target an enemy ski marker, place a ski marker in base contact with it, then discard a marker. So you can turn those enemy ski markers into place and get rid of conditions into your own ski markers. And you got reference to field guide. This is pretty cool, because this allows you to discard a card and add the suit to all the final duel totals for this activation. So you can choose... With its attack actions, what you want to do. That's it for the crew right now. It's looking kind of bleak as for what you want to be doing. So we got... Let me go through this. Okay, Nelly's upgrades. We have... there we go. No, that's not the one. There we go. For 1 soul stone, she has embedded... This model gains following ability. This crew can hire up to 4 models with the mercenary characteristic that are not the crew's declared faction, instead of the usual tool. Mercenaries that are not from the Resurrectionist or the Neverborn factions are hired at their regular cost rather than costing 1 extra soulstone. That's where you're gonna tailor your crew. And I like that. I like it a lot. This model gains the following triggers to its hot off the press action. On a mask, after succeeding, move this model up to 3 inches. And double rams, target does not receive burning action. So if you're moving one of your own people, you're not gaining burning. Let's see, she's got guild funds. This is one social upgrade. This model gains the following abilities. Guild funds, at the end of your turn, before resolving the evidence condition, this model may choose one of the following depending on the value of its evidence. If you have 2 or higher evidence, or greater, heal target 2 damage on target model within 8 inches. If you have evidence 3 or higher, target model within 8 inches gains the following condition to end of its next activation, which is hard to kill. And evidence 4 or more, you gain 2 soul stones. Pretty good. I mean, we're talking about a game that's played with cards, which her totem is Arcane Reservoir, was it her totem? Yeah. So you plus 1 your hand, it's played by ski markers, which is this crew is dropping ski markers, and it's played with soulstone, which you can gain more soulstones during the game. And then her defense, she has defense trigger, and remember that she got built-in tome. On the record, after failing, this model gains the following evidence condition 1. That's pretty cool. Boosting an evidence condition. And then journalistic spin. When an enemy model with an 8-inch aura is killed by a condition, this model may choose to count as if having killed it for strategy and scheme purposes. So, yeah, pretty good. She's got delegation, following tactical action, is one, assignments. Target, another friendly non-leader model gains fast. Built-in RAM and two triggers you can do. Document everything. After succeeding, lower this model's evidence condition by one to place a scheme marker and base contact with the target. So there you are, place some more scheme markers. And sabbatical. After succeeding, lower this model's evidence condition by one to heal two damage on the target. Got a little bit of heal built into this. Let's see. Another one she's got. Oh, let me move these because these I want to say different. So she can have three upgrades, and three of the ones that she got are pretty cool. This is her last one. This model gains the following ability, misinformation. When this crew has the opportunity to activate a model, this model may discard a card to lower its evidence condition by one. When this crew has the opportunity to activate a model, this model may discard a card or lower its evidence condition value by one to pass rather than activate the model. This crew may still activate the model later as normal. So if you don't want to be out, you know, it allows you to go through and do a little bit more. I mean, that's pretty cool. This model gains the following attack action, insight. Target gains the following condition to end a turn. Mood swing. When this model's controller has the opportunity to activate a model, the opponent may choose for this model to activate instead of its available. So you're controlling. You can pass your stuff without losing an activation, and you can get them to activate one of your models out of probably their turn that they want to do. The other two upgrades that come with it, one's for Fiona, which is gains following ability. This model gets a plus one damage, flips when attacking models that have already activated this turn. Not too shabby. And Transparency. This is for any journalist, it's rare one. Friendly journalist models with an 8-inch aura gain the following trigger to all other actions. Transparency. After succeeding, place a scheme marker in base contact with the target. Crazy, right? That's a lot of freaking scheme markers. I heard of, the Neverborn, Fae Chick. I heard that she would drop a lot of freaking scheme markers, but Nelly's crew sounds like he can do quite a bit too. Now you're going to say, Sean, what would you run with Nelly? What is your future plans with her? How about two exorcists? I like painting Vincent. I like the exorcist as a model. I just dig it. It's a whole thing. Even spiritually and, I don't know. But I got two of them because I imagine these are the reporters following the ghost hunters around or the Ghostbusters, and they're doing, you know, the field reports and stuff like that. So that's the kick I'm kicking on everything. I might run Aeonis with it because of how slow you can pass around. We'll see. That's going to be it for today. That's running up about an hour. I'll leave you with that. I have no idea what I'm going to talk about next. So if you've got any questions, comments, concerns, or actually ideas you want to add to the show, feel free to contact me at SeanHammer, the number 9, at yahoo.com. That's SeanHammer, 9, at yahoo.com. Like my Facebook page. I post all my my figures that I paint on there and everything. And hopefully I have a little bit more entertaining show next time. We'll go from there. And remember, until next time, if you're not having fun, stop playing the game.
I'm Dan Abnett, and remember, fanatics, if you're not having fun, stop playing the game.